Good morning, church. Hey, Happy New Year, by the way. You know, traditionally, the first sermon of a new year is a New Year's sermon. I don't have one of those this morning. I guess I missed the memo, Jeff. I think Jeff's going to talk about that some. You know, one of my New Year's resolutions was not to come up with a more crafty sermon insert. If you looked at your sermon insert. Maybe next year, I'll work a little harder on that next year. But Happy New Year. Thank you. What if I told you, and I need to get rid of my gum or I'll be chewing my gum the whole time. Put it right there, save that for later. What if I told you that the scientific arm of the medical community come up with a new drug? And if you take this drug, one pill a day, then it will satisfy your need for all medications. I mean, if you have heart disease, cholesterol issues, diabetic issues, if you take this one pill, just one a day, it'll replace all those medications. I don't know if you would be interested in something like that. I know my parents would. I help them with their medications. Something unique about this medication is that if you take it, even if you don't have any of these diseases, you won't get sick. Now, that doesn't mean we'll live forever, but we'll all die of natural causes, or we'll die from accidents or something like that. Would you be interested in something like that? I think most of us probably would. Something else about this medication, it's free. It would be free for all of us. But there is a catch. It's a government-run program. And God bless the government, you know. I don't deal in that world a lot. I know some people in the financial industry, some people in the mortgage industry, people in the medical community, and it's probably frustrating for a lot of us. But, you know, who do we appeal to? I mean, it's the government. I mean, what do we do? We just go with it. So it's a government-run program, which means you have to fill out this paperwork. You have to fill it out in triplicate. And first time you did it in blue, but they wanted it in black ink, so you had to go back and fill it out again. And it ends up on a pile on somebody's desk. And after about 6 or 8 months of jumping through hoops, and finally the medication is approved, and finally it comes to your house for you to take. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I know me. I'm human, and I kind of think maybe perhaps some people will think, you know what, I really don't want to go through all that hassle. You know, if they're not taking medication at all, it's like, you know, why would I want to start taking medication when I'm not taking anything to start with? Or maybe perhaps somebody that's taking several medications that's doing quite well on those medications decide that, you know what, I'm doing well with my heart meds, my cholesterol medication, things are in check, things are in balance, I feel really good. I really don't want to go through all of that hassle. And I don't know this for a fact, but maybe the people who will continue to fight for that will continue to pay the price to get it. It's not a monetary value, but it's like a time issue. I think the people that will continue to pursue that are the people that are the most desperate. I really do. Agree or disagree. Now, obviously, that's a fictitious scenario. The government part was not, but the medication part was a fictitious scenario. What if I told you that there is a place, there's this space, spiritually, that believers in Jesus Christ can end up, can land, where there's absolute joy, absolute peace, absolute comfort available for all of us? Would that excite you? Would you be interested in something like that?
Amen.
Amen? Well, the Bible refers to that place as the secret place. I think it was Nick. I'm gonna quote Nick this morning. He brings up the bulletin, and of course the sermon title's on the front, "Secret Place," and it's got a picture of our church there. He said, "What's so secret about this?" Come on, Nick, just stay with me for a little bit. But the Bible refers to that as the secret place. But you know what? It's a place. It's a space that, for me personally, I think for a lot of the body of Christ, it's kind of hard to get there. It's kind of hard to get there. And it's not that God places barriers in front of us. It's just we get caught up in so much other stuff that that place is just hard to get to some days. And to be honest, some days I don't want to pay the price to get there. And it's not like I have to pull out my wallet and do something financially, give more money in the offering plate, but you know, there's a price to pay to get there. And I don't know this for a fact, but I know me, and maybe this is true for all of us, just like that medication, the ones who are the most desperate will get it. I think maybe for us to end up in this space, this place, this secret place, I think it takes desperation to get there. So I want to expound on that this morning, about this concept of the secret place, and I better pray for us before I do that. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for today. And God, I just thank you that you are our refuge. You are our strong tower. And I just thank you that we have a place we can retreat to, Lord God, in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of all the struggle, where you're there, you're waiting on us. You're encouraging us to come there. Lord, I just thank you for making that way available. I thank you for what Jesus did on the cross, so that way into this place is available. But Lord, help us unpackage that this morning. Help us have a deeper appreciation for what you've created for us, that place, that space. And help us, Holy Spirit, for better understanding this morning in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. So we're going to look at, I don't really have points this morning, but if you want to take notes, you're free to do that. I'm going to look at two sets of scripture, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, that speaks about this secret place, and we're going to read from the New King James Version this morning. I know that's Jim Reinbolt's favorite version, and it's a good version. This concept in scripture, it's, depending on the translation you have, it's listed as, well, in the New King James, it's the secret place. In other translations, it's the hiding place or maybe the shelter. And we didn't have the New King James on Lee's computer, but I told them to go ahead and put up the King James Version. And the New King James reads pretty close to that. You know, just looking, I love to dig into the Word. I love to look at the original language, the Hebrew and the Greek. That's boring to a lot of people, but I enjoy doing that. And it looks like a better rendering of this concept of shelter, secret place, hiding place. Looks like the secret place is a better rendering of the words in Scripture. Plus, that's my sermon title. And so, I need all the help I can get this morning. So we're going to read out of the New King James. Psalm 91 is one of my most favorite psalms. And it speaks about this secret place. So we're going to read through that. And then I'm going to go back and just make some comments about the verses. And then we're going to go and spend a little time in the New Testament and see what Jesus has to say about the secret place. So let's read Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, this is the psalmist, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust, because he ended up there. He knew who God was for him. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. I'll describe what buckler is in a little bit. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In your hands they shall bear you up, this is the angels, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. I believe it says dragon there. We know who that is, right? You shall trample them underfoot. Verse 14 through 16, here's God's response to the one who dwells in the secret place. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Man, incredible benefits for us landing in this place, this space that is referred to as the secret place. So let me dissect a few verses here. Verse 1, Scripture says, he who dwells in the secret place in the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This word dwell means to come, sit, and remain. It doesn't speak about a little, maybe a 15-minute visit, and I'm not at all downplaying times that we spend with the Lord where we just go and we pray for 15 minutes. I think God loves that. He loves it when his children come to him. But this speaks more about someone who comes with the intention of staying. Secret place speaks about protection. To abide means to rest or lodge or to stop over. In verse 2, as I mentioned a while ago, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I trust him. When we spend time in the presence of God, when we spend time in the secret place, then we understand who God is for us. We understand that he is a comforter. We understand that he is a healer because we spend time with him. And sometimes it's just a concept outside of time with him. God, I know your word says you're a healer. I know you're a comforter. I know you're a provider. But unless we experience that, sometimes that's foreign to us. Verse 3, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And this word fowler means a trapper, and I love this in the King James, the bait layer. I mean, we all know who the bait layer is, right? Yeah, it seems like the enemy tries to trip us up. So he delivers us from the snare of the devil. In verse 5, you shall not be afraid. Verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Man, when we spend time with the Lord, boy, the truth just really resonates with us. This word buckler, I think bulwark is a word in another translation. I don't know which translation that is, but I read that. I'm thinking that's the weirdest word in the world. Bulwark. What is that? I heard a guy say, well, my mom had one on her face and they removed it one time. He didn't know what it was, obviously, either. But it speaks about protection. It's like there's this castle wall, and it's a thick wall. It's thick enough to where you can actually put a chariot up on top of it and ride and patrol the perimeter of the castle. That's the refuge and the truth. You shall not be afraid. Anybody fearful this morning? You may or may not want to raise your hand. If you're fearful this morning, there's a solution for that. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And it's 24/7 deliverance from fear. Now, if you're not sure if you're fearful this morning, I want to ask you a question. Do you worry? Do you spend a lot of your time worrying about stuff? You know, I'm convinced, this is just me, I'm convinced that worry is fear-based. That at the root of worry is fear because we don't know the outcome of things. And man, if you're a worrier this morning, I encourage you to retreat to the secret place. I encourage you to encounter the Lord if you're fearful or if you worry, but it's 24/7 protection. The terror by night, the arrows that flies by day, the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. It's 24/7 protection from the Lord. 1,000 in verse 7 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look. Now, I can't think of a scenario where people are dropping dead around me. Oh, there's 1,000 people, all of a sudden they just drop dead. And at my right hand there's 10,000 people. But boy, for me, that just speaks about incredible chaos that's going on. And even in the midst of all that chaos, even in the midst of all that uncertainty, it won't faze us. It won't faze us being in the secret place. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even your Most High, your dwelling place, no evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. I believe that there's... not that we're not going to get sick. Anybody ever been sick in their life up here? Raise your hand. I think that's probably all of us. But I think there's a healthier living when we're in God's presence. But yeah, I mean, let's take stress, for instance. I mean, if we're in God's presence, we probably will live more of a stress-free life. And take it from me, a guy who has had to battle through stress some in the last several years, man, it's a killer. It's a killer. Are you stressed this morning? Man, God has a remedy for that. He wants us walking in comfort. He wants us walking in peace. So I think there's better health there, spending time in the secret place. Verse 11 and 12, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, there's a lot of weird angelic theology out there. And you may have had experiences with angels. I might have heard an angelic voice one time. And it wasn't Jeff Hatcher singing. That was a different time. But yeah, I've shared this before. I was driving a truck and I fell asleep and a voice woke me up. I don't know if that was the Lord or if it was angelic. I don't know, but it was real. It was real. So I don't have a lot of experience there. So all I can do is go off what, for me personally, go off what the Word says. But Hebrews speaks about them being ministering spirits sent to us who will inherit salvation. There's angelic help. Now, I don't know if we need to, Lord, send some angels to help me. I don't know if that's a bad prayer or not, to be honest. But they help us. They help us. God will give the angels charge over us. They will keep us in all our ways. That's good stuff. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Maybe they keep us from stumbling. I don't know. Another benefit of being in the secret place, being in God's presence. And then 14 through 16, as I said, speaks about, this is God's response to the one who dwells in the secret place, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. It doesn't sound conditional, but it is sort of conditional. If we set our love upon him, he will deliver us. It says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. My goodness. Well, God's response to us who are dwelling in the secret place. I love this part. With a long life, I will satisfy him or her. And we've got some older saints in our congregation. Jeff mentioned Gracie. Oh, there's Gracie right there. You just had your 99th birthday this last week. And she's in church this morning, here almost every morning. You know, I come to church because I have to. I work here, right? And so Jeff gives me some Sundays off, and I appreciate that, Jeff. I really do. But there's days I just don't want to go. I mean, I love you guys. It's just, man, I want to stay home. And Gracie's here almost every Sunday. I'm not calling anybody out, but what's our excuse some Sundays? Are they valid? And so Gracie's been blessed with long life. Pete and Betty Martin are another couple that's been blessed with long life. I wonder how much time they've spent with the Lord through the years. Let's look at the New Testament. Something Jesus says about the secret place. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Now Jesus is teaching on prayer. And he says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, you have their reward, or they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So Jesus is teaching on prayer. And I don't think he's speaking against praying publicly, because Jesus did that. If you remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead, his posture was kind of different than ours. I mean, when we pray, we close our eyes and bow our heads, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus, he looks up. His eyes are open. He's looking towards heaven. He says, Father, I'm thankful that you hear me. You always hear me. And God, for the benefit of these, essentially, you're fixing to raise them from the dead. So Jesus prayed publicly. I don't think there's anything wrong with corporate prayer. But he encourages us that when we do pray, I mean, don't do it. Don't be flashy. Don't be showy. But when you pray, he says, go into your room. And if you look at the original language, this room could be a little closet, a little small space. Go into your room. Shut the door. Pray to your Father who's in the secret place. Church, he's already there. He's there. He's waiting on us. And when your Father, when the Father who sees what happens in secret will reward you publicly, will reward you openly. You know, my quiet time is not this. It was for several, 2 or 3 years. And 10 or 12 years ago, man, I was incredibly dry spiritually. And I went to a conference with a bunch of crazy, whacked out Pentecostals. And they were weird. They were just weird. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But God rocked my world. He knocked my socks off. You know what? We all, I'm going to say something about that because I love our charismatic Pentecostal brothers and sisters. I don't understand them sometimes. But you know, we all miss the Lord, right? Every one of us, we're going to miss the Lord in regard to what he's doing, what he wants us to do. Personally, I would rather miss him expecting too much out of him than not expecting enough from him. That's just me personally. But boy, God just, man, the Holy Spirit just worked me over. There was a guy speaking there. His name is Bob Sorge, S-O-R-G-E. You may want to write this down. He wrote a book entitled The Secrets of the Secret Place. And he'd mentioned that. A lot of people, yahoo, you know, when he mentioned it. So I thought it must be good. And so I got it. I read it. It's a 53-day devotional. It kind of helps you launch your quiet time, and man, it transformed me. You know, I went into this place in our house, this one room, Carlene's sewing room / my secret place. It was her sewing room before that, but then it became, you know, both of them. So that's what I did. I did that for about 2 years. And, you know, there were days that I went in there, and I got up early in the morning. I was sleepy. I was tired, and I fell asleep. You ever fell asleep praying, you know, to the Lord? And then I wake up, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I fell asleep. I can't even stay awake for 15 minutes to pray to you. And the Holy Spirit said to me one day, Billy, if you're going to fall asleep, I'd rather you fall asleep in my presence than anywhere else. So I guess it was okay. But you know, God just, that was my routine. That was my routine. And now it's you know, I try to stay in the presence of the Lord. It doesn't always happen, but my prayer time is different now. But it can be a location. It can be a location, a physical location. Obviously, it's a spiritual location. But the part that really grabbed my heart is Jesus saying, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. He's there. It's almost like he's waiting on us. And I wonder how long he's been waiting for some of us. 10 years? 25 years? 2 weeks? A couple of days? I think about how long he's waited on me. But there's this invitation for us to encounter him in the secret place. In the summer of 2015, I was leading prayer time one morning, and that's not significant. Please don't think it is, because I do that a lot. We encountered the Lord that morning in an obvious way. And I missed it. I think I missed what God was up to. And I think maybe as a church we might have missed that. So I want to play just a short clip from that prayer time this morning. Again, I said it's 2015, sometime in the summer. That's when I uploaded the video. And let's see how God responded that morning to our prayer time. Lee, you got that queued up?
And before we pray, I want to read you some scripture. This is a story about a man who was sitting beside a road, and he was blind, and Jesus was coming by. And he discovered that Jesus was coming by, and he called out to him. Let me read this to you. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, and Jesus was going to Jerusalem, passing through Jericho to Jerusalem to be crucified, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. You know, what's interesting about this story is that Jesus was going to Jericho. And Jesus knows everything, right? He knows everything. And he knew that Bartimaeus was beside that road begging, and he knew that he was blind. And it looks like Jesus was just going to walk on by and may have done that unless Bartimaeus called out to him, cried out to him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then Jesus responded because Bartimaeus responded to the opportunity to encounter this very Son of God. So with those thoughts this morning, Jeff and I were visiting, and we just feel like we need to give people an opportunity to be prayed over this morning. Jesus is here. Jesus is here, and we need to extend an opportunity for people to be touched by him. But also, in regard to that, I think sometimes we need to respond to him being here. And the invitation this morning is, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest." Wow. That was an exclamation point. Woo!
I remember that morning, because it almost like the building just shook. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but me. I didn't think about it. Boy, it was neat. It was cool. Special effects. I didn't think of this verse until a couple of days later. Psalm 81:7. "You called in trouble. I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder." So that morning, we just connected with him. And I think about that verse that I read before, that, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." It's almost like God said, "Yes, come." Now, if he would have spoke audibly, we would have been undone. I'm glad he didn't do that. But he spoke to us that morning from the secret place of thunder. Like I said, church, this he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. Jeff's going to lead us through communion. And I was thinking about what communion signifies. And, we only have access to the secret place because of the blood and body of Christ. Direct access, no barriers. And I think the challenge for all of us is to take advantage of that.